Sunday, and Darren and I we are going to give a testimony about a mission trip that we embarked on to Philippines and Nepal, respectively. They wanted us to, doing a question form, but I'm not good when it comes to do stuff. He asks me, then I answer. He asks me, and sometimes I go off. Record. So I just want us to just please, in 20 minutes, I'll just go on what I believe the Lord laid on my heart, and also give a report, because last 3 weeks I stated whatever the Lord laid on my heart and what the Lord did personally through me. So I'll today just give a report and just show you some few pictures. So that's how my own is going to be. So just take your time and follow me.
Father, let praises rise
from the inside,
from the inside,
from the inside, from the inside.
Father, may
a description about the whole team, ICFC, mission team. And this year, there were three countries that we went to, Philippines, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. And I was in the Philippines team, and I'm sharing my testimony. Those who went to Nepal and Sri Lanka, they've already shared theirs. But today, I just want to give you a report of whatever went through, because you sent us, and we went on your behalf, everybody who supported your prayer, your finances, and in everything. We just want to give you a report in that aspect. Amen. Now, but before I go, let me just quote some few scriptures in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. So Jesus went to his hometown, then he couldn't perform any miracle. That's why when you read the book of Mark, that's how he put it. He couldn't perform any miracle. So not that he didn't. Some of the verses or some of the translations say he didn't. But I like what the book of Mark says. He said he couldn't. For me, I think that really he tried, but it didn't work. Because the verse 6 says that he was what, surprised at their what, unbelief. So when you get to the 7, so then you've made the word of God of what, no effect because of what, your tradition. So when you go to Mark chapter 12, verse 24, he was having a conversation with the Pharisees. They were asking a question about resurrection. Then he said, you do err because you don't know the scriptures, neither do you know the power of God. So there were three things. They don't know the scriptures, and they also didn't know what the power of God. And before I went, I was just sitting down, and they said, go. For me, I had no expectation as in going to do something of God. But I felt with him that you should go. And when I went, I realized that sometimes we read the scriptures and we don't get it. It talks about healing, it talks about raising, doing miracles, and doing a whole lot of stuff. But it looks like a myth to us. But when I went, a lot of things happened for me to know really what the scripture says is true. So just have that in mind. Sometimes we fail to accept the Bible, accept the scriptures, just as it is, before. If an experience is somebody you see it on TV, but if you experience it, you realize that the scripture is really true. And our date was on the 3rd of February 2018. And we went to Cebu, my team. We went to Cebu in Philippines. So these were my team members. We were 16 in all, but as of this time, we were the people who took the pictures. We were all students. All of us are students. So we have these activities. We had introductory service, we had a prayer service, we had a street evangelism, we had youth conference, we had workers' retreat, we had hospital visitation, and there was a normal church service, both in the morning and in the evenings. So the introductory service was more or less like a praise and worship mixed with healing. The healing and this, we didn't plan. We were just having a normal praise and worship. And I told you last 3 weeks what really happened. Just a declaration of a word about somebody who was suffering from a stroke at the right hand. So as we were praising, just singing normal songs, normal, it was even normal than, I won't say SICF songs, but just normal songs. And the people were singing, the place was charged, and I was seeing pictures like, then call this man, this, the hand, this and that, like, as I explained last 3 weeks, so I called. And just at the declaration of that word, and the man was prayed for, he received his healing, then it started. So the healing was not planned. And you imagine yourself being in that situation. I've prayed for myself and it's worked so many times. But praying for people and it's working, trust me, I'm not in that level. Where you put your hands, you pray for somebody, then it works in that sense. But I experienced it in that sense. So it started, people were coming with a lot of pain in their waist. This woman, for instance, had a pain at the abdomen and the waist. So whilst we were worshipping, we prayed and things started happening. We also had a street evangelism. We went out, not knowing where we are going. We just meet you and we share the word of God with you. So that was that. I'm not somebody who likes going out doing this stuff, even though I know I have to do it. But when it got to that situation, when we were moving, I felt this joy. And I was quoting the scripture just from my mind, which I'm not really good at. But I was just quoting the scripture from my mind, and we were sharing, and the people were there, and we were listening. We went to a lot of places. So some of the activities were, we had street evangelism. We also had hospital visitations. We went to places where people were sick, a lot of children. We prayed for them. It worked. There was one woman who was suffering from, they mentioned it in medical terms, I've forgotten some name. But she couldn't, sit. She could only lie. And when we prayed for her, it worked. Amen. We also had a youth conference and workers' retreat. We shared the word of God with them concerning God's family, concerning the fact that God has given us so much, so we need to also go out and preach the word of God to people. So that's the discussion, Bible study group. And I had an experience, and we said youth. So I was expecting students, like us. And when we went, I think when I started, I was coordinating. Then it was only us who were there. So they said they were going to call people from outside because the church was not a big church. When I just raised my hand and looked at the entrance, the youth were coming, and those youth, some 9 years, some 10 years, this youth. And I said, I have to restructure the word. Because you can't tell the case. Some of the stuff, so I had to restructure. Then the Lord told me, you be expectant of anything, just be prepared. I'm somebody have to plan, then we go and do. But that particular time, when I saw youth, I said, Let me change. So I think the fact that someone is trying to say that sometimes we need to plan, it's okay, but when you go, as the Lord leads, be sensitive to the Spirit. And yes, so we had workers retreat and had youth conference. The workers retreat are those who are working in the church, the instrumentalists, the musicians, and all those stuff. We also talk with them and share the word of God with them and encourage them to go out and preach. So there were so many things that happened. Some of them we were able to record. Those who came to give testimonies, we recorded them. So I'll just read through. Though many were healed and ministered to, notable testimonies that were recorded during the entire mission period. So it included, the man was working faster than the hands. So, but not limited to the following. A lot of women were healed of diabetes after being prayed for. And a young lady, I remember, had chest pain. She was also prayed for. The team was presented with issues of hand dislocation. That was the first issue that we were presented with. And I shared with you last 3 weeks. Before we went, I was having a lot of dreams about people suffering from hands and those stuff. And what really transpired? I said, but a lot of issues. That particular chapter, that first day, if I can remember, there were about 7 people who were suffering at the right hand. And just exactly as I saw in the dreams and this, that's what it came, right hand, dislocation, pain in the hands and this stuff, somewhere stroke and thing. Amen. The team was presented with dislocation, arthritis, leg pains, blood vision and pain in the groin. Many people also fell under the anointing of the Holy Spirit after being prayed for. That's what means, for lack of vocabulary, I use the word Holy Ghost baptism. You pray for them and they will shout, especially the ladies. You know, and I've had these things, I've also experienced it. And sometimes you watch the TV, you watch online, people fall under the anointing, then you think maybe they are just joking. It's true. Before my eyes, the person was just somewhere laughing, as if they've gone mad. That's when you fall under the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. Amen. So, summary. Total number of souls won, total number of people who gave their life to Christ, and we recorded, we were 131. Total number of rededication, there are some people, even though they were saved, but they, after being touched by the word, they came back, they want to now rededicate their life to Christ and what move us in this way. We recorded about 30. And total number of healing that we recorded, those who came and gave testimonies, I was suffering from this and that, but now I'm healed, we were 36. And total number of deliverance, some people were suffering from, there was one guy who was a gay. No, he said by his own words, he likes both men and women, bisexual. Then, as we were talking, our leader said, no, you don't like. No, like, he was just talking, having a conversation, and then he fell under the anointing. So a lot of things happened. And some people too were coughing stuff from their mouth. Some were, they were giving food and they didn't know. They ate it and they were coughing there. So the deliverance I'm talking about is in that sense, spiritual deliverance. They were 3. And total number of baptism of the Holy Spirit, those who fell under the anointing, right? They were 20. So that is just a summary of it. You know, when you go to missions, people think that you go and fast and you don't do everything spirit. But the Spirit also led on my heart to go and have a dinner, nice dinner with our host pastor. It was very, very nice. Buffet. So those of us who want to go for dinner, don't think that when you go, you will eat. Well, it depends on the country you go to. Yes. You enjoy. So we also had a nice dinner with our host pastor, and it was very, very nice. After hard day's work, we sat down, had a nice dinner, and we talked. And at the dinner, I realized that food is very important. You need food in your ministry. And I also saw that there are some people, you know, powerful things are in smaller bottles. You know, there are some ladies I saw, they were eating the food. And you think that, oh, they can eat small, but they really massacred the food and made me realize that powerful things are always in small, but you look at them as if they don't eat. There's one particular lady, I will show you. but her face looks like as if she doesn't eat. But my team members, they can eat. Hallelujah. So that was it. I'm just trying to say that when you go for missions, you also eat. It's not that you go and you don't eat and you just fast. Yeah, so that is one thing. But before we went, we also had fasted. We fasted. We fasted because you can't just enter without binding a strong man, as the Bible says. If I remember, we fasted for 3 days. And the second day, we were just drinking water. 24 hours without food. And I never knew, I'm not trying to scare you, but I never knew I could fast for 3 days. I've never done that thing before. What will come over me for me to fast? No. And I remember the second day I saw the world, they said, "Brother," I said, I was just talking, I was just conserving energy. The time that we fasted, we went, and after everything was done, we also ate. Hallelujah. So, if you want to go, have in mind that these are the two things that you bring. Amen. So, as I said, by the way, we also fasted 3 days during the pre-camp meeting. After the fast, I really understood the scripture which says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." As I was fasting, especially the second day, night, it was around 1 a.m. I think, indeed, man shall not live by bread alone. Seriously, if I'm able to go 2 days without food, and I understood that scripture, it's possible. It's possible. Try it. Hallelujah. God bless you. So that is all. Let me just read Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things he has commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the world.'" When you go for missions, by this scripture, I just want you to know that it's not just an addendum. The Great Commission is not just an addition to it that if you feel like going, it's a must. One way or the other, God is what telling you to what go out and what preach the word of God. Not necessarily to Philippines, not maybe to another country, but you meet people, classrooms, tell them the good news. It also helps, and that is what God has laid on your heart. And know this, what makes it so nice is its associated power and authority. He said, "Go ye therefore." He talked about his authority. He gave this authority to your disciples. That's why when you go to missions, you don't struggle. You put your hands there, things begins to work. It happens. Only if you understand it and you pray, you have authority and power to do those things because it comes with it. It's just like a package. When you go, you are not going alone. He said he is with you. And I'll just encourage all of us that have that thing in mind. Understand it. Anytime you are preaching the word of God to somebody in the form of a mission, like Great Commission, as he has said, you know that you have power, and anything the Lord lays on your heart to do, do it, and it will work, irrespective of your state. Maybe you consider yourself not so worthy to do those stuff. I saw a lot of things that I was so surprised. Amen.
Is this one? All right. Amen. Well, first of all, with Isaac, I also want to say thank you so much. You know, in Philippians, Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, "Only you partnered with me in the matter of giving and receiving." And so when you guys supported us to go to the Philippines and Sri Lanka, you know, it wasn't only a matter of giving. The Bible says that you partnered in giving and receiving. And then later he says, "I'm not trying to get more money out of you." He says, "I'm not seeking another gift." He says, "What I'm looking for is the fruit that increases to your credit." And so thank you so much for helping us go and for sending us. And everything you see, you have a share in that. You get, the Bible says that fruit increases to your credit. Do we have the So I was on the team that went to Nepal, and I don't know if you noticed in that photo, every time I see that photo that Isaac shows of the whole team, that in America we have a TV show called Sesame Street, and it would go, which one of these things is not like the other? And like, I was like the old white man among a bunch of African, very young, very enthusiastic brothers and sisters. And so it was really my honor and my pleasure to get to be with them, because I really didn't fit in at all. But they were very kind to me and very gracious. Some of them started calling me Papa, which yeah, I still don't know how I feel about that, but whatever. All right. Okay. Is it going to go? In Mark, when Jesus preaches the gospel, he preaches it this way. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And it has taken me most of my Christian life to try and figure out, what is he talking about? Because the gospel, as it was presented to me, is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And, you know, the more time I spent in the scripture, the more I realized, wow, that's a really, like, Western gospel. Because if God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life, that leaves me with one huge question. What's the plan? Right? And that's why most, I think, American or Western Christians spend so much time trying to figure out what is God's will for my life. Because we've made the gospel, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And so, well, great. Then it's about me finding the plan for my life. But that's not the gospel Jesus preached. The gospel that Jesus preached was, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And so the nearness of the kingdom of God is the exciting part about missions. Like, that's exactly what Isaac was talking about. When you get to participate in the reign of God being extended. And it's important because I was literally being sent to China, headed out the door, and someone said to me, hey, Daryl, you know the kingdom of God is not heaven, right? So, yeah, I'm 22, I'd gone to a Christian university, I'd studied the Bible, been in Sunday school my whole life, and I was like, what? The kingdom of God is in heaven? I was really confused. And so, I just mentioned this real quickly in passing, because it helped me a lot to understand the kingdom of God is not heaven. The Bible says that heaven is where God has his throne and the earth is his footstool. But when Jesus was driving out demons, he said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. The kingdom of God is something that God intends to fill the whole earth. One of the most amazing scriptures about the kingdom of God to me is in Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel is interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's vision. And you remember that? Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. It had a head of gold, chest of silver, waist of bronze, and legs of iron, and then feet of clay and iron. And that was the kingdoms of the world. And the head was Nebuchadnezzar. The gold was the Medes and the Persians. The waist was, who came next? Alexander the Great and the Greeks. And then the legs of iron were Rome. And by the time that Jesus was born, Rome had become weak, and so they had divided it into 10 provinces, and there were 10 military generals that had been made governors over these 10 provinces. So that's talking about the 10 toes on this statue. And he says, at that time, a rock that no human hand has carved came and it struck the statue, and it shattered it, and the wind came and it blew it away, and there was no remembrance of it. And he said, and that rock grew into a mountain and it filled the whole earth. Well, that rock is Jesus. That rock was the coming of the kingdom of God, that Jesus was born into the Roman Empire when it was divided, when it was weak, and when it eventually fell apart. And the thing that is to replace it is the kingdom of God growing and expanding and filling the whole earth. So, going to Nepal was so exciting for me, because here's a place on the earth. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Is that up there yet? Oh, you have my desktop. Okay. So that's flying into Kathmandu. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. it starts small and then it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. It becomes a tree where all the birds can come and perch. He said it's like a little bit of leaven or a little bit of yeast that gets worked into the dough until it goes throughout the whole dough. Well, here's a place in the world where the gospel has taken 2,000 years to finally penetrate this nation. And yet, we got to be with the very first believers in this country. So we arrived in Kathmandu. We rode a bus for 20 hours. These are some of the pictures from the bus. And then we arrived in this little town. It's about 5 kilometers from the Indian border. And virtually all the people in this church are first-generation believers. The pastor was the first man to come to know Christ in this province in 1979. He came to know Christ through a doctor that had volunteered with the Red Cross and was using the Red Cross as his vehicle to share the gospel. And this pastor came to know Christ and slowly began to walk with Jesus. And he came to know Christ, like many people there, because his nephew had a broken collarbone. And Jesus healed his nephew. And they said, they were not Hindu, they were like animist spiritists. And they said, well, we'll worship whoever has the power. And if Jesus has the power, then Jesus will be our God. And so his family, their tribe, there are about 190 tribes in Nepal. But their tribe, many, many of them have come to know Jesus. Because Jesus heals and Jesus saves and does all these amazing things. And so to meet these guys, where the kingdom of God is just now taking root, it's just finally getting to this place, is so amazing and so encouraging that here it is, like here's the mustard seed that has finally come into Nepal. You know, through a lot of Indian missionaries and Korean missionaries and Western missionaries, people from all over the world. This was a women's retreat that we did with the ladies of this church. This was an outdoor this was the very first outdoor gospel event in the history of this province of Nepal, in far west Nepal. We were not the ones putting it on. We went and we kind of participated in meeting the pastors who were leading the conference and just trying to encourage them and bless them. But there were probably 2,000 or 3,000 people just out in a forest listening to the word be preached. It was awesome. People got healed. People got delivered. It was pretty amazing. But what I really wanted to encourage our fellowship with is God has positioned us at this moment in time, at this place on the globe, to change nations, to bring the reign of Jesus Christ to the world. I mean, where else in the world? I can't imagine that there are too many places like us where people of all different kinds of denominational backgrounds, all different kinds of nationalities, ethnicities, languages, we're all coming together, we're worshiping Jesus, and now we're starting to go out. And my exhortation to us as a body is that this is not supposed to be a one-time thing. This is something that's supposed to become part of our regular life, like regularly, not just at Spring Festival. And I think it will work so well with the small groups. I think it's the nature of small groups to say, hey, what if like 4 of us went to, you know, Southern Yunnan? What if our small group picked out a people group that hasn't heard the gospel yet? What if we decide, hey, I think we can reach that tribe? You know, maybe it would take $5,000 or $6,000, buy a few airplane tickets, go to that place. You know, it's what Perry was saying is right. It's not the donkey, right? It's that Jesus is in us. Every single one of us can be qualified to go and share the gospel. Jesus is the one who qualifies us. Jesus is the one who makes us worthy, like Martha was talking about. Martha, are you here today? Oh, and she's here. Man, Martha, you know, she shared a couple weeks ago. I didn't really know her very well before we left. Martha is a devil-crushing machine. Like, there would be women, I'm serious, there would be women, like, rolling around on the floor, screaming with demons, and Martha was like, oh, I got this. And she cast out the devil, and, you know, you wouldn't know that she had never done it before. I was like, what? I was like, I thought you were like the go-to exorcist in Ghana. She's like, no, that was kind of the first time I've done that. I was like, all right, amazing. But You know, it's just that willingness. She was willing. She's like, well, here I am. Here's this lady rolling around on the floor in front of me. I guess I'll cast this demon out. Like, this is what I, you know. And I, let me just say this. I'd say this if she were here, too. She did not use the most orthodox methods, okay? Like, I grew up Southern Baptist, and Martha would not be welcome in our churches back home. But the people got free. And I want to go to church with Martha every week. I want Martha on my team. Like, I'd see someone starting to get a little fidgety. I'd be like, Martha, we need you over here. You know, she's my family. She's part of our family, and God made us all different for that very reason. So this was a pastor's conference that we did. And again, like, which one of these things does not belong? But there I am. The host, he took us out to visit. We did three conferences, a youth conference, a women's conference, and a pastor's conference. And then we were there for one Sunday where we ministered in different churches around the area. And then we went out into the countryside, and we'd go and visit people's homes and things. So this was a bridge going into a neighborhood. This was a traffic jam on the bridge going to the neighborhood. And this was a little church that this brother, they built this church for like $2,000. And the gentleman in the kind of standing behind the tombstone-looking thing is the pastor there. And he just goes around and ministers to the people. This lady donated the land for that church. And she was a believer in Jesus. But then the people in her village told her, hey, don't believe in Jesus. You're going to bring bad luck on us all. And so at this moment right now, she's not walking with Jesus. But hopefully she'll come back. She'll come back to the faith. She was taking care of her grandson the day that we saw her. So I just wanted to, you know, encourage all of us. You know, I read something from a missiologist. They say now every 20 minutes, 3,000 people come to know Jesus. You know, 3,000 people, that's the number that Peter saw on the day of Pentecost, come to know the Lord. And now every 20 minutes, 3,000 people come to know Jesus somewhere all over the world. And the kingdom of God is going to grow and grow and grow until it fills the whole earth. And it's, you know, we can't believe the lie of the enemy that wants to have us be discouraged and have us think, oh no, you know, the church is in retreat, the church is dying. That is such a lie. You know, the institutions that people have built will come and go. But God's church is just growing. It's growing all over the world. It's growing faster than Islam. It's growing faster than any other religion in the world. It's growing faster than any kind of wacko New Age movement. People are coming to Jesus all over. And it's awesome. And, you know, God is inviting us as a congregation and in your small group. You know, I just, maybe in your small group discussion, just put it out there. Hey, guys, should we start praying for an unreached people group? I remember in 2000, But anyway, in 2000, my wife and I had just gotten married, and we were living in Charmin, and she and I were the youth leaders of our little fellowship. There were only probably 5-6 families at that time. But I remember praying for Nepal and praying for Bhutan, and at that time, there were no known believers there. I guess our pastor who came to faith in 1979, he hadn't blipped on the radar yet. But, you know, if you opened Operation World, I remember praying with the Browns kids and the Peretz kids, asking God, oh, Father, open up Nepal, open up Bhutan, send workers, Lord. And so it was such an exciting honor for me to go into that country and to get to share the gospel with people and to see people who had come to know the Lord and to see Campus Crusade and, you know, the Assemblies of God and the Southern Baptist and all these people working together to bring in the harvest. It was awesome. It was great. So I would just encourage you in your small group, in your family, say, hey, let's just start with taking a group of people before the Lord. Let's just take them before the Lord. Let's make that step one. Let's pray for an unreached people group and ask Father to send laborers to this group. Ask Father to give them a revelation of Jesus. And then be willing to be the answer to that prayer. And say, well, maybe we can go. You know, there's some cool unreached places in the world. Did you know Maldives is pretty much an unreached nation? Who wants to go to Maldives to preach the gospel? Perry's ready to go to Maldives. Brunei. There are some beautiful unreached places in the world. There are also some very awful, nasty, unreached places in the world. And God calls us to those places too. And the funny thing is, like, you get to those nasty, awful places, and you're like, I love it! Like, I thought we were at gym so that this afternoon, like, yeah, it was kind of not quite as nice as, you know, Wisconsin or Minnesota, but it was awesome. I love it. So, you know, when we follow Jesus, just the joy of being with him makes it all worth it. So, that is my exhortation to you. Thank you so much for sending us. Thank you for being part of our trip and for praying for us. And I would just encourage you that, you know, maybe next year it'll be time for you to go. So let's stand up and we'll pray together. I'm just going to pray, and if you feel led, you can pray this after me. Father, I give you my life. You can do whatever you want with me. Whatever you ask me to do, my answer is already yes. Lord, I'm here. Send me. I'll go anywhere you say. I'll stay as long as you want me to stay. My life is not my own. I belong to you. Father, let my life be a conduit of your kingdom. Let the kingdom of God come to earth through me. I offer you my body as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.